Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Stephanie, Megan, you're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Because therapy is too expensive. You're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Broke Girl Therapy.
Yellow.
You sound fucking different when you say that. You sound American.
Oh, thank y'all.
Yellow.
Yellow.
All right, we'll get started.
You ready?
Yes.
You ready?
Yes. Hi, guys. It's me, Stephanie Megan, your host of Broke Girl Therapy. And guess the fuck
what?
It's me, Jessica Clark. In the motherfucking building, bitch. I love you.
I love you more, friend.
I know. We used to be my intern, producer, roommate.
All of that.
An occasional co-host now.
Once I had you in my life, I wasn't letting go. So there was that.
We got drunk the first night that we met.
So drunk. We all tell the story. And that's the day I knew this was. We got drunk. We smoked cloves. Girl, we were living our best life.
And I miss smoking cigarettes.
Girl, my lungs don't miss it.
I know. I've been having like low key asthma attacks lately.
Girl, you don't need to miss nothing.
I even when I laugh, you can tell that I'm just like gasping for air.
It's just awful. It's not cute. Girl, love.
Well, we're here to talk about toxic traits within ourselves, within partner, or when we're dating someone. In the Manifest a Man episode, you talk about how you could be a manipulative person.
Yes,
so let's talk about it.
So manipulative. I was the worst.
Yeah.
In the best kind of way.
But the thing is, though, is like, I was actually shocked when you said that because I was like, whoa, like, I've never heard anyone just say like, oh, I'm manipulative.
Yeah.
That's like self-awareness.
I have the gift of manipulation and it can be used for good or evil.
Jeez, have you ever manipulated me?
No. It doesn't typically happen with friends. It happens more with loved ones.
When you said that, I was like, I could see that with like relationships with you.
I think a lot of women manipulate men in different forms.
We all do it.
I just know. But there is toxic manipulation, right, which I mastered so well. And men fell for it all the time.
What was your manipulation? What was your game?
Just my banter. I got a sweet mouth. So I can phrase words and I can phrase sentences in a way that's like, oh, let me help you or let me do this for you. Let me think. I would be like, what would I say? I would say something like, oh, I'm hungry. But I really can't. But I'm at home right now, or like I'm out right now, and I won't be home till late. And da 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 da. And they'll be like, what else are you gonna say? But oh, let me bring you food, or let me do this. And in my mind, I can always tell when that guy is that kind of person.
Right.
Because I used to always date men with like money.
Right.
So that was my thing.
You're always very much. I remember when we first met, you were always just like, they have to be.
Especially in college, a lot of the people know me. I was like, I was in like 21. Like, yeah, I'm about to take this trip to Italy. Like, and people would just look at me like, what do you mean? I'm like, my boyfriend's flying me out. He's a soccer player in Italy. And people would just look at me like, that's crazy.
So he's a soccer player in Italy?
Yes. I met him in Ghana.
Uh-huh.
And then when I moved to America, he moved to Italy to play
soccer. So he was like a professional soccer player.
He was a professional.
So we could Google him.
Hi. He's married now.
Oh.
But so I cheated on him a lot.
You did?
Yeah, but I told him every time.
And he'd be okay with it every single time?
The third time he wasn't very happy with it. So that was like the final straw. I kind of feel like he was cheating on me too, though, but he never admitted it.
I mean, he's a fucking professional athlete. Of course he was cheating.
Yeah, but he used to always whenever I used to call him, like, he used to always just be at home or, you know, whatever, blase, blase.
I never knew you cheated on, like,
yeah, your... I cheated a couple times, but every time I cheated, okay, I think the cheating was also self-sabotage, because another part of my manipulation was, I'm going to sound like such a trash person.
No, but I think that's the
thing. I'm a recovered manipulator.
Yeah, no, but I think that, like, I think that's number one is, like, you are owning up to your toxic traits. Yes. Because that's how you become better, is when you own up and be like, yo, I'm this type of person. Like,
yeah, I have to watch that. I'm conscious of it. Right. So, like, for example, I used to say to him, like, he wasn't an affectionate person. And actually, from the app that we were using, it was just saying, one of my love languages was words of affirmation. Okay. And he was a person that was a doer. Like, he used to just
acts of service.
So he used to just do things for me that should show that's how he translates his love. Right. But because my love language is more words of affirmation, I used to say to him, like, I'm gonna break up with you, or I cheated on you, so that he'll be like, he would, his devastation will kind of show how much he loved me.
Right. Oh my god.
Or like, yeah, like,
but I feel like I kind of relate in that way, because sometimes, like, I would always try to get, like, low-key, like, my ex-boyfriends, like, jealous,
yeah,
just so that, like, I could see them get jealous and, like, make me feel wanted.
Exactly. Oh, I'd be like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then
used to do that a lot with my high school boyfriend. Again, I was young, but I used to do that a lot with my high school boyfriend. Like, I would break up with him all the time just because I would want him to beg for me back.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so he would be like,
Jesus, am I manipulative?
Yeah, that's very manipulative and destructive behavior.
I don't do that anymore.
I don't do it anymore either. Yeah. I mean, I ain't got nobody to do it
and
with.
Like, with, I mean, with Chris now, I'm like, I don't play that.
But then now I know that I can't be with someone that doesn't give me words of affirmation. Like, that's just a love language of mine. That's how I translate love. And so I have to match the person that I'm with that suits my love language, or else I'm going to somehow, like, consciously or unconsciously try and get that out of them. But you can't get something from someone that someone already doesn't have, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, so you're also a part of it.
So I'm also
toxic behavior.
Oh shit. Yeah, because I mean, looking back, I mean, granted though, it's like, it's hard because it's like, I was in that relationship from 15 to 20 years old, but I remember, like, towards the end, I will say, like, my ex was sick of my shit because I was so used to being spoiled by him, because again, he had money.
Yeah.
Like, shit, are we the same? He had money and he definitely took care of me, and I was so used to, like, and he was very much in love with me, and his family loved me, and I felt very safe with him, you know. I don't think that, like, he would ever really leave me, to be quite honest. Again, naive.
Yeah,
I haven't been abandoned yet at this age, so that's why I didn't think that someone could leave. I think I'm completely different now, but back then I just thought, like, he'd stick around, you know. And I would, like, I would break, if I had a crush on someone, I would break up with him.
Girl.
But granted, like,
you just wanted to tap in real quick.
Yeah, because I'm granted, like, 15 to 20 years old, like, I haven't, like, gone through really, like, my hoe phase yet. Yeah. Like, I haven't, you know, like, and we all know that I like a little bit of attention from men. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I liked dating around, you know, yeah. And, but yeah, like, I guess I was looking back, like, I think I felt really guilty after that relationship ended, because I knew that I wasn't doing right by him. Like, yeah. I was always like wishy-washy. Like, yeah. I remember I had a crush on this guy at a coffee shop, Coffee Bean, not sponsored. I had a crush on this guy at Coffee Bean. I had a huge, massive crush on him. And I, like, broke up with my boyfriend because I wanted to, like, pursue this crush. But the crush didn't like me. He liked my coworker. So I, like, ended up nothing ever happened, and I ended up getting back with my ex. You know what I mean? It was just like, I look back at that, I'm like, that is so.
Did you ever, I used to, if a guy would be like, do you want me to come over? I'm like, no, it's fine. You don't have to come over. And then they wouldn't come over and you'd be pissed.
Yes.
Like, I need you to be a mind reader. So yeah. When I say I don't want you to come over, like, that means come over.
Exactly. Like, why aren't you trying that hard? I had to realize, too, I can't remember what age this was, but I had to realize, like, oh, no, men are not going to read between the lines. No. Like, they're, like, so black and white. Like, they need, like, a yes or no. They don't need, like, a maybe so.
Yeah. And this is how, okay. And I was also, like, I think also a toxic trait of mine. I was kind of delusional. And I think
same. Same bitch. Y'all, have you heard my old episodes?
Literally, I had a guy, one of my guys, he was the kind of the love of my life that kind of broke me down, like, to the core. Like, he was the one that low-key drove me to drinking. And
was it the one that ended up recently getting married and having a kid?
Yes.
I know exactly what I'm about. Okay, okay.
Yes, and we can talk about that because
I don't care. Yeah, because you were in a relationship with him, too, and that one just randomly just stopped.
I wrote my resentment list, and I also did my I did a resentment towards him, and I also did my
resentment list.
Yeah, like basically everything like I resent him for. Mm. So I wrote that all down, and I just left it there.
Oh, okay. And well, that's actually smart. I've never done that before.
Yeah, I do that every week for certain people.
Oh, I know. Well, sometimes I'll like write a letter and like not send it. Actually, recently I wrote a letter and sent it to Morgan.
Did you?
I've never talked about it on the show.
You should say, well,
should I read it?
Why not? I mean, because I'm in AA, so like that's also just a step, like just writing down like a letter and then reading it to the person. Mm-hmm. But I did write a letter to this guy, but I didn't send it to him because I just felt like it wasn't appropriate with him having a wife and a kid.
Right.
And we kind of, let me see how deep we about to get. So
let's dive in.
So I also at a point was pregnant with his child, and we didn't go through with it. And
oh shit, we're talking about it. Okay. I mean, I knew, but like I just didn't think that you would bring it up. Okay.
Yeah. Do you mind talking?
I'm here to talk about whatever you're comfortable to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, this is how I see my life. Everything that I've gone through in my life is a testimony, and I've recovered from these things. So a lot of the time, Christian women don't talk about the truth. Mm. And I think that it makes a lot of us feel isolated because we don't feel like other people are going through it. But we are, and we have to be vocal about it. This is what I've been through. It's my life. I can't hide from it.
Exactly.
So
I love that. I love that. That's amazing. Okay.
So
let me share a tale as old as time. And I'm sure you guys would relate. I'm pretty sure. So I had a friend who recently ended up on a date with a guy who showed her pictures of his ex during dinner. Yeah, you heard it right. Pictures of him and his ex. And then I had another friend who matched with a guy and spent an evening chatting about dogs and travels, only to get his dick pic out of the blue. We've all been there, right? Swiping through a sea of potential matches, only to find ourselves in a shipwreck of weirdos and dating disasters. It may sound funny, but let's talk real talk. The constant letdowns, bizarre encounters, and endless ghosting can seriously mess with your head. Mental health is no joke when it comes to dating. And that's where Floor comes to change the narrative. The best thing about the Floor app is it's not just another dating app. It's a sanctuary for sanity in a crazy world of dating. Imagine a place where you can be yourself and connections are made without the drama. You can now say goodbye to the mind games and hello to the meaningful conversations. At Floor, they're all about empowering you to take control. A woman chooses who to talk to and how. There's a safe mode in all chats that doesn't allow dirty talk or explicit pics, and only a woman can turn it off, only when she's ready. The worst part about dating is how redundant conversations could feel, and I feel your pain on that. But what I love about this app is that there's several games in the app to help break the ice. That way it can help you navigate the conversation and it doesn't feel redundant. So if you're tired of the dating app circus affecting your mental health, I strongly advise you to try the Floor app. It's a journey of self-discovery, laughter, and meeting fantastic people who won't make you question your life choices. Download the Floor app right now, F-L-U-R-E, and spend a night chatting. And I hope you have a great time and find your perfect match.
He, we didn't go through with it, and it was kind of, I was also kind of manipulated by him in a way, because it was very much he didn't want to go through with it. But I was also, I kind of wanted to keep the child because I felt like if I kept the child, it would
keep him. That's a lot of times some people do.
It would keep him. And ever since, I was in love with this guy since I was 15, and I was going through with this till I was, 23, 24. And so that was a lot of, and it was constantly a game of me trying to make him love me. And I was always just trying to be enough for him. And every single time I came up short, every single time. I was never enough. And so I kind of realized, came to a place where I was just like, okay, yeah, I have your seat, essentially. Right. Like, that's the biggest gift of all. And you're from an African family. And so now you're going to have to marry me. And now you're going to have me, you know. And again, manipulation, very toxic.
Right.
But then we didn't go through with it. And then he kind of came back in my life like a few years ago. And like a month or two after we started talking, he was engaged, get to be married, and then had a child. And so that made me carry a lot of resentment, because it was like, damn, like, you don't want to have a child with me, but you want to have a child with this other girl, you know?
Did he tell you, like, to have that abortion?
Bro Girl Therapy is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what would you do? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I mentioned before that I went back to therapy, and that was the best decision I've ever made, because every time I leave a session, I do feel like I just got so much off my chest. I've been suffering with so much anxiety because I feel like sometimes I don't have time. I don't have time to get all the stuff done, or I feel like I'm not worthy of doing a good job of the things that I have to do. And I know that stems from a lot of ADHD. So talking to my therapist, she really gives me the space to just vent and have those emotions. And she validates that and gives me the tool sets to be able to continue my day and to give me that confidence to remind myself that, like, I got this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BrokeGirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/BrokeGirl.
He persuaded me a lot to have it. It wasn't a thing like, oh, it was like, it's your choice, you know, whatever you want to do. It was just like...
And you wanted to keep the child?
I don't want to get emotional.
Sorry.
It's okay. No, I did. I think looking back, I don't regret my decision, but, and again, I'm a woman of faith, so we're not really supposed to, you know, we're not really supposed to do that. However, right. I just wasn't in, I couldn't imagine being, a young mother, and I still hadn't unpacked my alcoholism. And so, and with a child, I don't think I would have had the opportunity to unpack that. And so I think that would have, and I do believe in generational curses. So I think that kind of would have kind of intertwined
right
in that. And so I think, to answer your question, it wasn't, I think if it was just left down to me, I would have a child today.
Aww.
And it was crazy because my, just before I was like, I was in the doctor and everything like that. And I walked in to the clinic and the lady was like, what you here for, what you need? Like, just like, it was just like, it's another day for her. And right. I'm like, make this huge decision. I'm devastated. She said that and I ran out the room outside and I was crying. I was like, please don't let me do it. Please don't make me do it. And he kind of just like talked me down. Don't cry. And he kind of was just like, it's okay.
I'm gonna cry. I'm a little.
And he was just like, it's okay. Let's just go back in. It will be okay. Let's just go back in. It will be okay. Like at that point, I feel like he should have been like, yo.
No, he should have listened to you.
Like let me take you home.
Let's give it a moment.
Let's give it a day or two. And he was just saying like it's not really a child right now. It's not even real. Like it's almost like he was kind of manipulating me to think that it's not even a real thing. And I was young, and he was older, so I kind of just, and I trusted him with everything. Like, this was the love of my life. So he could have told me, girl, the sky is purple, and I would have believed him at this point.
Right.
And so, yeah, with that, and we went through it. And what's crazy is that my dad came to the clinic. My dad called me, because I called my parents right before. And my parents were just, and told them what I was about to do. And my parents were like, we can't tell you what to do in this situation. You have to make that decision.
And he should have listened to that. Sorry, not to.
He should have. Yeah,
that's fucked up.
And
I'm not just saying this to try to make you feel guilty. I'm saying this for those who are listening. Like, no one should ever press you to do something to your body that you're not ready to do.
Absolutely. I wasn't in the mind space. Yeah. You know.
Right.
And
but I get why you fell into that. I understand.
Yeah, I definitely fell into, because I didn't have a mind of my own. I didn't know who I was. Again, that just ties back into trying to allow somebody else to fill a void in you.
And make because decisions for you.
Yeah, exactly. Because they do fill that void. And so now they're a part of you. It's almost like they have a soul tie to you because you've allowed them to take up that space within you. And so their soul is tied to your soul in the worst way. And so you almost trust everything that they say, and they have a part of you that you don't have control of. And that's why it's so important for ladies and men just to know yourself and love yourself first, because you cannot allow anyone else to be able to manipulate you. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to take control of that.
Exactly. Especially with huge decisions like that.
Yeah. My dad, shout out to my dad. My dad's the best dad.
And that's the thing. World. What I loved is that your parents are, you know, very involved in the church. They are the church. You know, and like they are very, you know, dedicated to their faith and stuff, but yeah, in that moment they're like, you make that decision.
Yeah, they told me, we can't make the decision for you. And he called me and was like, hey, my dad lived like about a couple hours away from me, and right before I called them, and then they were a couple hours away. So when I was at the clinic, he called me and he was just like, hey, where are you? And I was just like, I told him where I was, and he was like, okay. And he was like, be safe. And I was like, okay. And when I came, I went under. And when I came through too, the nurse came and she was like, "There's this big black man looking for you."
She said that.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
I was like, "Who? What?" And lo and behold, my dad drove down to pick me up.
Aww.
And he.
That's a man.
He picked and he waited in the waiting room with my.
I'll beat that out.
Okay. Please be back. Yeah, he waited in the waiting room with him, and the guy told me like that was the most awkward moments of his life.
Oh, 100%.
But my dad didn't say a word to him. My dad opened the door for me. I got in the car, and the whole 2 hours home, he just played Bob Marley music and didn't say a word. He just held my hand all the way home. So
that's so beautiful. And where did your ex fucking go,
bitch? Where did he go? I shouldn't bleep that out. I don't know. He went back to DC. That's where he left. So he went back to DC and we didn't really talk about it. But that's when my heavy drinking started, because I kind of cut it off with him and I went through this traumatic event and I didn't have anywhere to place my trauma. So I placed it with
alcohol.
$2.50 wine bottle from Kroger and Black and Milds. Period.
I've done the same thing, except it was Camel Crush and a bottle Fireball.
Camel Crush was too expensive. Black and Mild was like, what, 75 cents? Shoot.
Do you remember the Fireball days?
Yes, girl. Oh, good old times.
Ugh, I hate Fireball now. I mean, no, I love Fireball if you want to sponsor me.
I love Fireball.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I didn't think that we'd go there. And I love that you share that story because I think that, like, that's so important to talk about.
Yes.
And no one's ever, I don't think I've ever talked about abortions even on this show before, so that's the very first time. I've never had it, so I can't even imagine.
Yeah,
you know. But I think, again, like what I said, I'm only saying this not to for you, but for like everyone else, like it's your own decision.
Yes, it's your decision.
It's your decision.
And that also goes into just why I'm more protective over my body now.
Yeah.
And who I'm choosing to give myself to in that way.
Right.
That's why I said, like, the last time in the pod, I don't really want to have sex until I'm married, like, you know, because the next person I offer myself to in that way, I want to know that they're committed to me.
Right.
And, yeah.
And that's hard. I mean, I know what it feels like, you know, so how you said, like, you guys were dating a few years ago and, like, literally a couple months after he's engaged and having a kid with someone else,
yeah.
Like, I mean, that's kind of what I'm going through with Morgan right now, where he's literally like, did I show you the photos? Their engagement photos? I gotta show you the engagement photos.
He's engaged?
Yes, he's engaged with her. So I can't, like, I'm already, you know.
Freaking twist.
Oh, they already know, but I just haven't told you yet. But by the time that they hear this episode, they already know. But yeah, so he's engaged with his girl. I'll show you the pictures later. But so I know how that feels. To feel like, how can you just replace me so quickly?
So quickly.
But I feel like with yours is like even a step further because this man was in your life for years and then quickly right after. Was it like an ex-girlfriend that he got back with? Like,
no, or it was someone new.
It
was someone new. And listen, when I say I loved this man, like I used to make food for him and drive 2 hours just to drop off his food. He wouldn't let me in his house because he says he was ashamed of his place. He finally brought a house, which I helped him get, not financially, but like he showed me floor plans. I chose things in his house. He stringed me along by giving me,
like, what was his toxic behavior? Because, like, we talked about your toxic behavior. How did he have that power over you?
He was giving me each time. It was almost like a drug. That's the best way to see it. It's almost like he gave me a little bit of this drug every single time.
Uh-huh.
He never gave me a lot, so I didn't overdose. But he just gave me just enough to keep coming back.
Right.
And then it was also me being like, yo, if I keep coming back every single time, maybe I'm getting a little bit closer. So every time I was just going back for this drug, and it was like, I'm empty. He makes me feel full. And so he was my fix. Yeah.
Did he ever tell you, like, I love you, I want to be with you forever?
Did he ever tell me he loves me? You know, and that's where I think the delusion came in. Because I don't think he's ever told me he let me tell you one time. One time. Can you just stop saying this?
I'll beep it out. It's fine. Call him something else. Call him.
Michael.
There you go.
Michael told me, it was Valentine's Day. And I think I've told the story in this pod before, but I'm gonna tell it again.
Yeah.
Because it was Valentine's Day. And I was like, oh, you coming for Valentine's Day? Like a couple days before I asked him if he was coming, he was like, maybe, I don't know. Da, da, da. So it came Valentine's Day. And I asked him if he was coming. He was like, no. And I was like, what do you mean you're not coming? He was like, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I was like, okay. Girl, I got up. I cleaned my room.
Oh, you did?
I
we did talk about this.
I cleaned my room. I shaved my good parts. I like lit candles. I brought wine. I cooked. And I sat on my bed waiting for this man. And I called him at like 9. I'm like, where are you? He was like, oh, I'm just driving around DC. I might go to this bar. And I was like, oh, so in my mind, he was driving to me.
Right. We start to think like, oh, they're going to surprise me with something.
I thought he was going to surprise me. So when I heard him in the car and I heard the engine, I was like, oh, he's on his way to me. Girl, I went to bed. By midnight, I knew this guy was not coming to me. I cried myself to sleep that day. All the way until the next day. And he still wasn't there.
And did you tell him that? Did you ever tell him that, like,
I did, and do you know what he told me?
What?
I told you I wasn't coming.
I don't mean to laugh, but, like,
no,
but that's seriously the perfect,
crazy.
That, no, but that's, but on, okay, I don't want to call you crazy, because I think that's so normal of us to think that, like, oh, I know that they like us, and I know they're going to surprise us and do what we want them to do, when in reality, they're already showing themselves.
Yes. He, like, I, not only did he show me, he told me he was not going to come.
Yeah, he was upfront.
How this translated in my mind that this man's going to drive to me and surprise me and I need to get everything ready is beyond me. To this day, I don't understand that. But, yeah, girl.
I mean, I get it because I've been there before. Like, I feel like I was there with Morgan. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there have been times where, like, even, for instance, after he cheated on me, I was like, oh, he's just, it's okay. Like, he's gonna realize, like, while he's with her that he wants to be with me and that he's going to show up in my door with flowers. Yeah.
Crickets.
Moment of silence. Didn't happen.
We still waiting for the flowers.
They're just not here yet.
Listen, I'm still waiting for this nigga to show up for Valentine's Day. Chill. It's a hot mess out here in these streets.
We be out here. I mean, shit. I've been fucking... with Davion, I always just thought every single time, like, that he would tell... You know, we would... Because, you know, on and off for 3 years, we were fucking... And that sounds really aggressive. We was fucking. And, you know, every single time we would start, like, having sex, like, he would say, like, you know, I don't want a relationship. But I'm like, I'm going to just continue this because I know you want a relationship.
I remember. And I was like, girl, sis, honey.
He doesn't want a relationship. And as soon as it's like, you know, I realize he doesn't want a relationship, I'm like, why?
Because women think we can change men. Yeah. We think that there's something.
That's our toxic trait. Yeah, that's my toxic trait.
We think we can. There's something so magical and unicornic about us that we can just change their minds. If a man tells you who he is, sis, we gotta believe.
We have to just take it as it is
because you're gonna be constantly trying to prove yourself. Right. And I will promise myself, I will never be in a relationship where I feel like I have to constantly prove my worth or prove my value. Mm. Because if you don't see it, honey, it's radiating over me. So if you don't see it, that means there's something wrong with you and you need to go figure that out.
Exactly.
Because I'm radiating with value and I'm radiating with just beauty inside and out.
And also just like, I think with that confidence, just knowing that like not every motherfucker is going to get that.
Yeah.
So just making sure that person gets it.
And
you know,
don't give everybody access to you. Don't give everybody access to your energy. It's okay to say no sometimes to these
men. You were saying yes to everything back then.
Girl, listen, if a dog can roof, where's the bone? You know, give a dog a bone. I was giving every dog a bone. Over here like Oprah. For you. Yeah. You get a bone.
You get pussy.
Girl, just throwing it out like it was free.
Right.
Well, it was. And that's why I respect sex workers because they...
At least they're getting something.
They business minded. We over here just...
just hand this shit out. I mean, I haven't even... There's no samples coming out my fucking vagina.
Yeah, no. Well...
That's fine.
But with all that being said.
Way back to being delusional. I was still, yeah, no.
Yeah. So there was a lot of toxicity in me and with him also.
Yeah. And then so how did you feel? Obviously you felt awful, but like what did you do to kind of get over the fact like right after you guys broke up a few years ago and you got, you know, married and had, you know, a baby on the way. Like, what did you do to, like...
I replaced him. I did. I got a boyfriend. Oh, that's when I got the boyfriend from Ghana.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So after he broke up with me, my grandmother passed. Randomly, I called, I got in communication with this guy I've known for years. I've known him since I was living in Ghana. He used to be my spiritual leader, go figure, and he was a singer at a big church in Ghana, and I met him there. And so when my grandmother passed a few years ago, I got back in contact with him. And he was, even when I was with my ex in college, he used to tell me how much he was in love with me back then. And niggas out here out of control. But so then when we got in contact again, that's when we started talking and dating. So I kind of, again, just replaced the void.
You were a serial dater.
I was a serial dater because I had to fill this emptiness somehow. So that's how I filled it with another guy.
And then now you're alone and that's okay.
And now I'm single and I'm loving it.
Yeah. Do you remember we used to go on double date? Remember that double date we went on or attempted double date?
Yes, girl.
What happened? I remember we went... You met some guy on Hinge.
Yes.
And you, like, invited you out.
Was I drinking then?
We were drinking.
Oh, then that's why I can't remember.
Yeah, and then he had a friend, and you're like, girl, come out with us. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, maybe this could be the one.
Did I set you up?
Yeah. We didn't really click. I don't even think he was, like, attracted to me. He didn't really, like.
Who was this?
It was that guy that could sing.
I vaguely, girl, you know.
And he was like, I don't know, he could sing. That's all I remember is like, he could sing. And we were like,
we were
drinking. I think we went to that place by the hookah lounge in Hollywood, that hookah lounge we would always go to.
Oh, you
had your blue wig on. I have Snapchats from that.
Oh my.
That time.
God, what a throwback. Jeez. Thank God for grace. I tell you, I was a hot mess.
We were out
here in these streets. Girl. I was out here frolicking in these streets.
Yeah.
Girl.
Nothing scandalous happened that night. I just remember scandalous. Like, I just didn't, it, me and that guy didn't even, he didn't even look at me. He didn't notice me. I was just like, damn, I'm over here thinking like I can possibly meet the one tonight. And then. That's my toxic trait. My toxic Everyone's trait the back one. Then was like, oh my God, like if I go on this date, this might be the one. Like, same. I always would go into a thing like, this could be it. This could be the one. This could be the one. And then I would just get fucking turned down every time. And to the point where I became like numb, where I'm like, fuck it. I don't give a shit. And I met Morgan.
How did that go?
We all know how He's that engaged. Went. He's engaged and not with me. I'm still waiting for the flowers. Okay, I'm not waiting for those fucking flowers.
Girl, but yeah. But now I would say, like, I'm talking to someone and I just met him. So,
how's that going?
Do you know what's crazy about this? A lot of my. It's almost like operating in corrective behavior. Because there are still certain things about me that I kind of default to and I have to check myself. But I know myself well enough to know when something is like a toxic trait trying to kind of like slither in.
Really? Like what do you mean?
Like, for example, and he is an amazing communicator. And even if we don't work out, one thing I've gathered from him is that my standards of thinking of wanting a guy that can communicate to the way I like I like to be communicated with, it is possible. So for example, like with him, he used to like he would get like a text message and I'd be like, oh, is that your side chick?
Oh my God, you do that?
I did that.
And oh my
then,
God.
Literally recently. And then he was like, I need to step out and make a phone call. And he was and I was like, is that your this is separate times, obviously, different days. And he made the phone call, put it on speaker, and I heard it was a guy, and then he stepped out. Then he came back in, he was like, hey, come talk to me real quick. And I was like, all right. And he was like, I've noticed that, you know, this is like the second time that you've said something like that. He was like, where is this coming from? What is this triggering in you? I looked at him like. And it was a very healthy conversation because he's aware of my past. So he is patient enough to allow me to to embrace and to learn from these traits. So again, it's correcting my old behaviors. And so now I'm able to see, okay, this is something that I need to work on. What is it triggering in me when, you know, am I waiting for him to be like, yeah, there's another girl. And right. So again, it's just me trying to almost find a reason not to being something good.
I do the same thing too. Oh my God, we're both the same type of toxic. Like I remember with, well, I mean, granted, it was Morgan, but I remember with Morgan, I would always say that where he would bring up a random memory and I know for a fact that it wasn't me. And I was like, wrong bitch. he'd be like, dog, like, I swear I invited you to watch me play basketball that one time. I was like, it wasn't me. I was like, wrong bitch.
Because
I made him look back at our messages. I swear to God, I'm going to dig through. And he digged through. He couldn't find it. And I even digged through. I couldn't find it. I was like, wrong bitch. Like, so I guess that was like a very accurate moment. But like, I would always make those comments, you know?
Yeah.
And he never really tried to validate me. Like, he kind of was just like, let me act that way.
Yes.
And absolutely. With Chris now, Chris and I are completely different from
same.
I was with Morgan.
Jeez.
But like just how you were saying, like I remember, I don't know if you saw, but I put up a screenshot on Twitter and Instagram where it was like me blowing up Morgan's phone. I was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you ignoring me? And I talked to Chris about it, and Chris was like, you know, if you were behaving that way, I would sit down with you and be like, okay, where is this coming from?
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Like that's what a grown ass man.
I've never experienced anything like this, and even to the point, he's very in tune with my energy. So even the other day, there was something wrong with me, and he was about to leave, and I hugged him, and he was like, what's wrong?
Aww.
Just from a hug, because he could feel the resistance in the hug. Right. He could feel the energy in the hug. And he wouldn't leave until he sat. And you know what I told him? And this is also another way that I know I'm changing. I said to him, I don't want to talk about what's bothering me, because I'm not sure if it's reality or if it's my feelings. Because feelings are fleeting. Mm-hmm. And feelings can sometimes be out of insecurity. It could be something within you that is triggering certain feelings, and it may not be actually what is happening. Right. And so I told him, I need to figure out where this feeling is coming from, so I know to deal with it with myself, or if it's something that you are really doing.
Right.
And so it may not be a him problem, and it wasn't. It was a me problem. And so I didn't want to, you know, before I'd have been like, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. But it was something wrong with me. It was nothing he was doing.
Right.
You know
I think I agree with you. But I also think sometimes it is the person.
Oh, of course.
So like it really just kind of depends.
But you have to take the second to figure out
which one it is.
Exactly.
Exactly. Like, cause I have a coworker who just always gets jealous. Every time she has a boyfriend, she always gets jealous if he like likes another girl's photo. Like for every single boyfriend that she's had. And
good luck with
that. And even with like the ones that are loyal and not even like trifling, you know what I mean? So I think in those cases where it's like, okay, if you're having this issue with every single one, that's something.
It's an insecurity within you.
And for me, like I think with Morgan, that behavior, that was like out of character for me.
Yeah.
Because now with Chris, it's crazy. Like now I'm in a healthy relationship. I see more of a toxic.
Same.
I see way more toxic shit that I didn't realize was toxic back then. But, you know, with Chris now, it's like, oh shit, wait. Like I'm actually not super jealous.
Yeah.
Like that.
Same. And the thing is, like, I could, again, communication. Like this guy's communication is impeccable. He's like the kind of person, he'll be like, hey, this week I may not see you as much because I need to work on stuff that I'm going through. He says, check myself at the door. Like there's some things internally he has to check within himself.
Right.
But even within that, he wouldn't just go ghost. He would call me every morning or text me. He would always check in with me every single day. Mm. Before that would have been a problem because I'm like, why are you not texting me all day? Girl, like that was fine with me. Check in.
Right.
But it's all because I'm fine being by myself.
Exactly.
I can't be by myself. I'm happy. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think with Morgan too, it's like I could put the blame on Morgan, but I also at that time in my life, I was not happy with myself.
Yeah.
So it was like a mixture of all of it.
It becomes obsessive.
Yeah. Right. It becomes obsessive.
And you become possessive as well.
Right. And I think that I continued to like work on myself even, you know, throughout the end of the relationship to after relationship up until today. Like I've continued to work on myself that now that I am in a healthy relationship, it's like, oh shit. Like I don't. I'm not going to trip about you liking a girl's photo because I don't got time for that.
And it's
about, I trust you.
It's about balance, right? It's like you have to leave room for yourself to also grow within that space. And it's so strange going through, like, sometimes I'm like, why am I not more obsessed with this man? Why is it?
Yeah.
Why am I?
Oh my God, I say the same thing.
Does it mean I don't like him as much? But it's because like you're
it's used healthier.
To, exactly.
It's healthier.
And you're used to being in toxic a situation where things you're are going, always going crazy.
Right.
Things. Are, and I,
right.
I call my friend. I was like, things are just calm. And
like,
I was
this
like,
is good.
I want to just make destruction happen. Like I need to feel some vigor, some excitement. But that's toxicity. Like just,
that is
so toxic to feel that you have to be in something destructive to be able to feel something. And that feeling makes you feel like you like that person.
Right. And 100%. Cause I just mentioned that in the episode with Rose where I was like, I needed to feel like, I was like, I questioned my feelings for Chris. Cause I was like, I'm not like going crazy.
Yes.
Is this okay?
Yes.
And I checked myself and I'm like, oh no, it's because I do like him, but this is like a healthier way.
Progression.
Right. Like this is actually healthy.
Getting to
and
know someone.
This isn't drama. Like
exactly.
This isn't, you know, like this isn't, and I'll admit my toxic behavior is the fact that I love the toxic behavior.
Yes. I think that's we can conclude this episode. We figured it out.
That's really what it was. Like, yeah. I think.
Flourish in toxicity.
And I tell Chris this all the time. I'm like, I would have never, ever appreciated Chris if I didn't go through a Morgan.
Yes.
Because Morgan literally gave me everything toxic to the point where it got me so fucking exhausted that I had to, like, check myself and realize my worth. And then now I'm able to receive love in a better way and to give love in a better way because I'm like, I'm so sick of this drama.
Yes.
I've been through hella seasons with this drama. Like, it's exhausting. And
it
it's,
is. And
yes, it makes great content, but like, that's not.
It takes so much out of you. It takes so much out of you just having. And again, that's what I was just talking about, like just being able to recognize, because we're not going to change overnight, right? We're not going to just automatically being something healthy. And then being in something healthy when you're used to toxicity feels uncomfortable.
Yes.
And it feels
and that's why
like
I always, I never
wrong.
gave attention to the good guys before.
Yeah, it feels like something's wrong because just like, I'm used to being in a whirlwind and there's no whirlwind going on. So I don't know if I even like you like that.
I mean, honestly, like, to be real, like, maybe they would come randomly, but most of the time I only attracted toxic guys because I wanted
toxic
behavior. And I was toxic to my own self.
Yep.
I was fucking drinking and partying every fucking weekend, smoking hella cigarettes, just not giving a shit about my health and just, you know, living a little bit of a rock star lifestyle and just, like, just fucking giving this fucking wop. You know what I mean? Him is wop out. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I think that there was something so powerful and important.
But we go through stages and seasons.
Yeah, there's something so powerful and important and within having that open sexuality. And I learned a lot about my body. But at the same time, like, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
You know,
no.
I didn't know how to make myself happy.
Right.
And I tried again, filling the void.
Yeah.
So that's why I attracted dudes like Charles, dudes like Davion, because at the end of the day, like, Charles and Davion are not bad people. It's just like, it was just toxic relationships, you know, that just wasn't a fit. Morgan especially,
it was
Morgan was just awful.
Morgan he need to see Jesus. But yeah, girl, so being in something healthy now just shows my it took me having to be broken in that way.
Mm-hmm. Broken therapy.
Yeah. Hello. To be able to be who I am today, because if I didn't go through everything that I went through, what I talked about in the beginning of this episode, when I think about it, I wouldn't have probably tapped into my alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when in my life it would have popped up, because it's in me, right? It just had to, it has to manifest somehow. Right. And so if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have drank. And if I didn't drink at this time, I wouldn't have been able to be sober.
Right.
But now I can go into my 30s and I can get married and I can be, and I can have my children, but I'm in, I know that, hey, sis, you just can't drink. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. You can't. And I'm able to be there and be there for myself and for my family without having to be, like, what if I had postpartum depression and then my drinking started? You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right.
And then I'm going down a downward
spiral. And then you
realize
that you had this addiction.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then I would have to, of course, I would hope that my family would stick with me in that time, but having to bring children in that, you right. know, it just wouldn't, it would, it's easier to do it when I'm by myself and single than it would have been when I'm having,
I agree.
I have a family.
So I think, like, I guess if you, if someone, whoever is listening and you are going through like one of those like toxic phases into your, you know, your life yeah. where you are dealing with a lot and getting into these really toxic or unstable relationships, I think that it's, like, I mean, obviously get out of the toxic relationship, but I think right. just really appreciate every experience that you're going through, because at the end of the day, we're gonna learn from it.
Yeah.
And you gotta learn from it. You and it takes to. And it takes work, but it's fucking beautiful.
Yes, it is.
It's fucking beautiful.
It is.
And it's cool to like look back and be like, yo, like I battled, you know, you battled, you know, alcoholism.
Yeah.
Like that's something that you could proudly be like, yo, like I fucking did that.
2 years, December 2nd.
And that's a huge accomplishment, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, and also like all the experience that you've gone through with your ex and all that stuff like that, like it's so like unfortunate, and it's I'm sure like in the moment it was, I can't even imagine,
yeah,
you know, but like damn, to really come out and be like, I experienced this, I've learned my lesson, this has like shaped me to be the person I am today.
Absolutely.
Like I think that's just fucking, like that's the whole point of the show. You know what
no,
I mean? Like,
for real,
yeah.
Like it makes you who you are, and that's why
it's character building.
Character building. We're building suspense.
Yeah.
It makes you who you are. And at the end of the day, like, again, I have to share. I can't go through something and not share it. To me, what's the point of me even going through it if you
right.
can't help other people that are going through it?
Especially if the universe put us together.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
So, I agree. Yeah. Oh, I love you.
I love you too.
I love us.
This is my first time like actually talking.
Yeah,
about.
You got really vulnerable. I love it. I love
it. I did.
I want everyone. That's the thing. It's like I feel like you are a part of the show, but like we haven't like dived. You always come on the show and you help me through my shit, but we haven't dived into like your shit. So I'm glad that they got to see your issues and not just mine.
No, yeah, and that's what it was. It was just like a part of my toxic behavior was pretending. Like I was this pristine, perfect person that didn't go through that nothing affected that you know, just I was the kind of person that was just battling things and I came out
right.
like successful in the end, and I just have this gleaming light on me, and inside I was dying. But you could only see this light that was shining off me, but you couldn't see my insides.
Right.
And
right.
so now it's just like
there's always work, and
yeah,
it's always like,
work.
Like again, like how it came up in the situation with do that you're dating now, where it's like, okay, like, oh, it's still there. So it's still like, you know, it's still gonna come up. You still gotta fight, you still gotta battle, but like you always will get better.
Yeah, always. And this is the healthiest I've been in relationship in my life, in my
Same.
Person, with my family.
Who are we?
I'm in such a happy, like I am happy internally.
Yeah.
I'm a bit chubby because of quarantine, but that's okay. Period. Because guess what? We can lose weight.
Yeah, but, exactly. Like, weight comes and goes. Like, it's
but
fine.
For me, like, if my heart is together, my heart is whole, and it hasn't been whole in a long time. So
I love that. That makes me so proud. Because we both come a long way, I will
Girl,
say.
Girl,
I feel like we're kind of having this
together.
Yeah, we did. It's only been like 4 years.
Oh my God. It's been
like,
4 years.
Maybe like three.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But like, I feel like a lot could happen.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, like you know, if you're going over a breakup, we won't care in like a year. Did I say in this episode or last episode? I don't know. Whatever. Well, any last words?
Just love yourself most importantly, and yeah, you can just love,
Just love.
Just love.
Love carefully, but love yourself carefully. First.
Love yourself first.
We are hella fucking cheesy, but I love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. These cliche things are cliche for a reason, because they have meaning.
Exactly. And that's why they need to be said constantly, because it needs to be ingrained in everybody. Like, yeah, love yourself. Yeah, we hear all the time, but no, but really.
Yeah, no, but really.
But like, really. No, like, go love yourself and shit. For real. All right, go plug yourself, bitch.
Yes, y'all can find me on the gram or whatever. J.Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E. That's Clark with an E, like Clark Kent, like Superman. And, oh, underscore, J.Clark underscore is my Instagram.
And then follow me, Stephanie Megan, or go to brokegirltherapy.com. All that shit is there, including the merch. Go buy yourself some merch. We got sweatpants, T-shirts. Sweatpants, hoodies.
Steph got my back, literally.
Literally, I am on your back.
Steph got my back.
All right, bye. Bye, love guys. You guys.
Love y'all.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Broke girl therapy.
Broke girl therapy.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.